sports at all levels are becoming increasingly competitive, and high school coaches, they're busier than ever. As a result, incidents of coaching burnout are on the rise. There is a statistic that puts the national annual average turnover of head coaches in high school football at 1 in 5. 20% leave coaching in that first year. With growing economic and recruiting demands, the pressures on high school coaches appear to be taking their toll. We're exploring coaching burnout here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wade Lebecki is Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. He's also been a high school administrator, athletic director, teacher, and high school football coach. He was also a high school athlete. Wade, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, this conversation we're having this morning was really inspired by a story we read in the Green Bay Press Gazette about the strain that high school coaches are under. The reporter talked with a number of coaches who are feeling burnout, and we're going to get at that underlying issues. But first, help us understand the value of youth sports.
You know, the value of youth sports is I guess, important and understated in most schools. That, you know, athletes or students who participate in athletics and are athletes, you know, there's a higher graduation rates, there's higher GPA rates, there's lower discipline records, lower dropout rates, lower pregnancies. There's all of these factors that they've found in various studies throughout the history of high school athletics. And the benefits are just enormous. And the high school participation rate in some of our sports has been down, but the overall enrollment in high schools is down as well. But the participation rate remains consistently at about 10% of our overall population in football. And I believe it's true in all the other sports as well.
How are coaches doing these days?
You know, I think there's, you know, the ones who have a good balance in their home life, their family life, and in their professional life are doing well. And if you see the coaches who have been successful, they're still doing well. There are coaches who drop out, and what I think is going to become more important is that we have to keep the young coaches. It's the same with our officials. We have to keep them because they're making choices that, they didn't make before. They used to give up some of their family life in order to go ahead and teach and coach, and that's not as prevalent anymore.
Let's explore a little bit about those sacrifices. You've been there. You've walked in these footsteps, in these halls, and on the fields. What is that balance like?
You know, for me, it's difficult to say because I didn't maintain a good balance. I really focused more on my professional life and on my coaching than I did on the other parts of my personal life. So, I think that you have to maintain that balance. Otherwise, you won't have the luxury of having both of those. I think coaches really need to understand that they need to take time off on Saturdays. When I coached football, and I was a head football coach for 17 years, I did not bring my coaches or kids in on Saturdays. Those were family days. I didn't care if they went duck hunting or turkey hunting. I didn't care if they, whatever they did on Saturday. I broke down the films on a Saturday. And on Sunday, that was family time and, church day and so forth. So my experience was that I wouldn't bring those kids in and coaches in on the weekends. I believe those were times that they needed to be on their own. However, I worked through that.
Saturday. You were working, though. You were breaking down films on Saturday.
Correct. And then, I coached many years ago. I started using the computer, so I'd enter that stuff in the computer, stop for the Badger game, and then continue on. And then on Sunday, I'd, do the church thing in the morning and watch the Packer game and then get back to work. So, that's what I think can burn people out is if they're turning their high school program into a mini college program. And you have to have a good balance on that.
Do you see this commonly as turning these high schools into mini college programs? What does that look like?
Well, they'll go ahead and they'll have a new program called Huddle that's a video breakdown, and they'll send clips to kids, and the kids will have to look at those. I think that, the football coaches have done a great job in this state avoiding increasing their summertime programs. But you'll see, off-season weightlifting programs that, you got to be in the weight room on Monday through Friday, all year long. So, you know, you have to find a balance in that. Get your assistants to take some days, and you take some days, and rotate those. But in the summer, our coaches in all sports but football have unlimited non-school coaching contact. So what that means is that a basketball coach can go ahead and coach their kids on an AAU team or on a club team during the summer in the summer league. Well, that's extra contact. And what happens with that is it becomes an expectation if the guy down the street is doing it, that you have to do it. So that's where the added pressures come in. Like I said, the football coaches, I thought, did a nice job. They've refused to ask for that additional contact. So they're limited to 5 days during the summer before July 21st that they can go ahead and have the kids together at a football camp that they run or something like that. And I really think that that's a good thing that helps avoid some of that burnout.
But that additional coaching in the summer of club sports, then that makes it a year-round position, does it not?
It does. And parts of the issue with that is, you know, kids will get burnt out as well. You know, when you have additional expectations and contact for them, then that's something that not only the coach has, but the athlete has.
We're talking with Wade Lebecki. He's deputy director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, looking at the lifestyles of high school coaches here in Wisconsin and around the country as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a high school coach? What do you coach, and how much of your time is dedicated to coaching? Were you or are you a high school athlete? What was the role of athletics in your life? What about the role of your coach in your athletic career and in your life? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Wade, help us understand a little bit more the role and responsibility of high school head coaches. What is the job description?
Well, you know, it varies, but it's I think a lot bigger than most people realize. You know, it's not just X's and O's. That's a big part of it. A big part of a football coach is Friday night, but there's so much in between the time that you start practice and the game time when you have that kickoff. You know, you become a part of that community and that school community, and you have investment in those kids individually. So, you know, a good coach genuinely cares about their kids, whether they're on or off the field, and that's becoming so much more important in our society, you know, nowadays. So you're not only teaching your sport, you have to know your sport, but you have to be able to communicate it to those kids, and you have all different levels. I always like to say that, you know, athletics is the program that addresses the AP kids, the special ed kids, and the average kids, the AVEs. So it covers the whole spectrum. So you have to be able to teach to all of those kids and their different learning styles. And, you know, you have to be able to go ahead and organize and the practice as well as your game plan, and you're doing it on a daily basis. So, you know, you have a lesson plan for every practice, and that's very important. And then you're teaching character. You're teaching the kids the values and the importance of a family and how to maintain those different values, whether they're integrity or perseverance, all of those leadership qualities that you're teaching, teamwork. So it's really a lot more involved than people realize, and that's why I think what good coaches do.
Along the way, you have to teach them how to win and lose. What is that like?
Well, you know, that's the difficult piece. And I, you know, in a team sport, for me, it was always to get them to work together. It was always to get them to realize that, and I told the kids, you know, the person next to you on your right and on your left, in front of you and behind you, is more important than you. And if you realize that those people are more important than you, then you've got 50 people who care about you and think you're more important than them. So, you know, I think that's the important piece, is to build a team and to build that team-like atmosphere so they're selfless and they are willing to sacrifice for the better of the whole.
Coaching prep sports, it requires balancing a whole lot of responsibilities. The well-being of the student athlete, as we've been talking about, their family weighs in on the minds of coaches. We're exploring the world of high school coaching, factors that are contributing to burnout. And this is The Morning Show. Wade Lebecki is our guide. He's deputy director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. He's been there. He's been a high school football coach, a high school administrator, athletic director, a teacher. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. High school coaches out there, why do you coach? How much of your time is dedicated to coaching? Where do you strike a balance? Were you or are you a high school athlete? What was the role of athletics in your life? And what about the role of your coach? Call in. You can tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation after this news update right here on the Ideas Network. Seems the path for a number of coaches is through being physical education teachers first before taking a school coaching job, although that's not as widespread as in the past. Many have to handle both PE class and team coaching, and as the schools don't have staff for two positions. We're looking at the life school of being a high school coach and where we see turnover. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wade Lebecki is with us. He is deputy director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. He's also been a high school administrator, athletic director, teacher, and football coach. Getting your insights, your questions along the way, 800-642-1234. What do you have to do to make time to coach? What gets put aside? Or do you have a system to fit it all in? Do you worry about burnout? Why or why not? And what do you do to avoid coaching burnout? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Wade, I'll never forget. I was flying once on a Friday night, late at night, over rural East Texas. And I looked down and I could see these glowing ovals every once in a while. I could tell they were stadiums packed with people. And I'll never forget looking over at the seatmate next to me. And I said, "Are those high school stadiums?" And she said, "Honey, that's religion you're looking down on. That's Friday night lights." And it was spectacular.
Yeah, it's really interesting down in Texas on how rabid they are in their sports and that. And I think you'll see, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, it's not as rabid, but it is a big night in local communities. And on football Friday nights, I go and observe officials, and I'll get out to 2-3 games on a Friday night and a couple maybe on Saturday. And I just look for the lights. My dad said, "Well, how do you find the stadiums?" Well, you know, when you're out traveling in rural Wisconsin, you'll see the lights about 3 miles out, and that's how I'll find them, and I'll be able to get to those stadiums to watch those games. So it is. It's a neat community event. It brings the kids together. It brings the community together, the schools together. So, you know, there's nothing like Friday nights.
Let's go to Bob joining us from Madison. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, good morning. Listening to your program this morning about coaching burnout. Well, I'm a scoutmaster in Madison, or a retired scoutmaster, and I had several scouts that were out for sports from football to cross country, and keeping them from burning out in Boy Scouts, I found sports and vice versa were really complemented each other. And I'd hear from a lot of scout leaders, "How can you get boys to give up sports for Boy Scouts?" And I said, "Oh, don't give them that choice." And at one time, I had 4 boys that won cross-country state championship in Wisconsin. Mm. I had boys that won national championships in crew, and they all went on to become Eagle Scouts. And I would always call the coaches and let them know they had a new Eagle Scout on their team. And just to let them know that to keep themselves from burning out along with the athletes is keep them involved in other programs like band or something other than just sports or one particular program.
No, so Bob, you were really out to see those kids strike a balance.
Yes, I think that's true with everything in life. And I'd actually find coaches that I was talking to, and they were kind of amazed. And I said, well, you can do the same thing. You know, you can get involved in Boy Scouts and find out what these boys are going through in Boy Scouts. I have boys come flying in for Eagle boards right after softball or baseball practice or football practice. And they can do it all. We can do it all. But I think it's a better recommendation to have a diverse activities in your life.
Bob, thank you so much for bringing that to the conversation. Wade, did you see scouts alongside these school athletes?
You know, that's ironic because I am an Eagle Scout.
Wow.
So I was able to, you know, in high school participate in athletics, and I was an Eagle Scout quite early in my high school career, my freshman year, I believe. And, yes, I did. In a smaller community, I was involved in Woodville, and it's a medium-sized school. We did have kids who were in Scouts, and I did have, I think, two Eagle Scouts. And those are the same qualities as you're building in scouting as you do in athletics. So those are the leadership qualities. And there's been a study that Tim McGuine did down there at UW about specialization. And I think that's important, as Bob talked about, how you have extracurricular activities. And it's not just the sports. There is other activities, or there are other activities that you can join in. And those kids have higher GPAs yet than the people who are just involved in sports. So if you have, you know, whether they're in band, in basketball, or scouts and baseball, those kids have a higher GPA. So it's important that you're not just specializing either.
Wade, do you find that coaches are curious what other areas that student athlete is involved in? Are they seeking out to find out whether that athlete is doing anything else besides their sport?
Well, I think the good coaches are. Remember, I mentioned in there that you care about the kid as a whole and that you're looking at what those kids are all doing. Well, if you're going to do that as a whole, do you care about what they're doing outside of just your sport? And that's where the focus can be, and that's where you can avoid some of the burnout stuff where you are looking at what you can be true to them or be true to yourself as well. You know, you have to avoid just working on that one single item because that's when you get to burnout. So, good coaches care about other aspects of their athletes' lives.
Let's go to Katie now, joining us from Janesville. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good morning. My question regarded the parents. You were just talking about coaching burnout. I know you have very fanatical parents that have their kid into every camp and everything they could possibly go to. And then you have some of them that are more like me, that I've got four kids involved with sports, but we're also involved with 4-H and FFA and all the other extracurriculars, and they might not be as fanatical. But the parents' role in to help or to hinder those coaches and the mental aspect of coaching, how do parents fit into all that?
Great question, Katie. Wade, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the article that, started this whole conversation really, I think, started on the fact that a coach in Appleton had left coaching after 28 years or so, and he basically cited the parents. And you have to determine how you're going to manage that and how you can get the parents to believe that you do have the best for their kids in the mindset of the overall team. You know, a lot of people, the parents force them to quit, whether it's direct or indirect. And how you manage the coach or the parents is going to become an important factor. But I think if you trust the kids and you tell the kids, you know, where their roles are, and you ask them to talk to their parents about their roles, and as long as the kids are satisfied, more of your parents will be. There's always going to be the one who's fanatical, and then they're doing the best they can for their child, but sometimes they don't understand that they might be hurting their child. A lot of kids will lose interest in sports if they start too young and if they're pushed too hard, and that's the hard part about athletics is to know when to push and when not to push, and to to let the kids, you know, a key, I think, in athletics is that the kid has to learn how to fail and how to get back up, and you can't, you know, can't coddle them the whole time.
Is there ever this tug of war between what the coach wants for the student athlete versus what the parent is seeking?
Yes, there is, and it'll happen in all sizes of schools as well. And in fact, I saw one yesterday where the parents were trying to dictate or had the coach fired and trying to dictate what their coach was going to do and who the coach was going to play. And that's where, you know, you'll see people just avoid coaching. They'll get out. And that's where the young people don't stand anymore. Us older people, we used to hang in there and we're able to disregard that. But I think as younger people get into education, get into coaching, they just throw up their arms and leave. And that's the hard part. We're struggling with the young people and maintaining them and keeping them in coaching or officiating. We're just struggling with the fact that they don't need it, so they get out.
Wade, what are the requirements to coach high school sports here in Wisconsin? What do you have to know? Are there certifications, licensures?
Well, for the high school teacher, all they're required to have is a teaching license. So there really is not a greater requirement than that. But remember, teachers now have gone through their education courses and their methods courses and that. But they haven't necessarily had anything beyond just their own experience. You know, you might have a basketball player who becomes a teacher and now he coaches basketball or she coaches volleyball because they've had that past experience. If they're not a teacher, then they have to take a coaching principles class and a first aid class. And then the principles class talks about basics like leadership and building the whole in addition to just coaching your sport. And those are the two requirements if you don't have a teaching license.
What about health and safety on the field and knowing what to look for with concussions, knowing what to look for with dehydration? What do coaches have to know there?
Well, you know, all of our coaches now who are paid are required to take first aid, CPR, and AED and get certified in those three things. We do provide a lot of information. If you go to the WIA website at wiawi.org, under health, we have all of the hydration, the heat information for this weekend, baseball, softball, soccer, and track, obviously, and golf and tennis are going on. All of those, we sent that material out to the schools earlier this week. So we do have information on that. We have concussion information on our website. So the coaches really have all of this information in front of them, and we will also give it to them in our rules meetings. Every coach has to watch a WIA rules meeting specific to their sport, and we will cover those health and safety issues in those rules meetings.
Talking with Wade Lebecki, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, looking at the makeup of high school coaching here in Wisconsin and across the nation. And Wade is a former athlete, former football coach, athletic director, and high school teacher. Your insights, your questions are welcome at 800-642-1234. Were you a high school athlete? What was the role of athletics in your life? What about the role of your coach? And what impact did your coach have on your life? Call in. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Sandy now, joining us from Port Washington. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My comment is a little off topic here, but I just wanted to thank all of the coaches out there that recognize that kids might have an interest in a sport, but I was a runner. I ran all 4 years of high school with the track and field team, but I did not like to compete, so I wasn't actually on the team. But he gave me the schedules for practices and games or matches, and I would run with them every time they went out. And only once in all 4 of the years that I ran with them did I have to stand in as a team member. So I just wanted to say to all the coaches out there, it really made an impression on me 25 years ago when I graduated from high school that I was allowed to participate in a sport that I really wasn't participating with.
Sandy, were you ever persuaded to compete?
No. I'm not a competitive person. I just loved to run. And so it's 25 years later, I still run 8 to 10 miles a day.
Oh, good for you. Well, thank you so much for calling in with that. Wade, do you see coaches meeting student athletes where they are? And what about competition?
You know, I think that, you know, Sandy hit a good part, is that when you participate in athletics, one of the benefits is that you have this lifelong fitness. And, you know, that's one of the things I think yesterday at the White House, President Trump had Presidential Fitness Day or something like mm-hmm. that. Brought in all of these extra or athletes and brought in all of these kids and did different activities for fitness. And, you know, most of us will remember the Presidential Fitness Award. And, you know, athletics brings in that lifelong desire to stay fit. And it's just one of the ways that you can fight childhood obesity. And, you know, the NFL has to play 60, trying to get kids to participate in physical fitness for 60 minutes a week, so forth and so on. So when you get into the participation in athletics, not everybody's going to start. The people who go on to scholarships is so rare and so minute that, you know, you have to take the benefits that come along with the participation. The competitive piece, I understand where Sandy's coming from. I was a wrestler, and I enjoyed practices a lot more than I did being out on that wrestling mat all by myself. I was a team person, so I liked the wrestling better, or the football better, excuse me, because I had 10 others around me to help me. So I understand where Sandy's coming from as well.
How does payment work for high school coaches? Is it part of their salary? Is it extra? How does that work?
You know, that really varies from district to district. And, as you know, as we reading an article, it was interesting. You know, in Texas, they'll pay them six figures just to be the head football coach. And as you talked about flying over their stadiums, there's a lot of pressure on them. They're getting, you know, $60,000 to $80,000 to coach football.
I was seeing figures of upwards $150,000 at some of these schools in North Texas. They did a Freedom of Information Act story in releasing all of their figures. But it also looks like those districts allow a lot of outside groups and booster clubs to weigh in on those salaries.
They do, and that's where the pressure comes in for winning. In Wisconsin, I don't think you have to worry about any of those salaries. I think my highest salary that I got for coaching football was $3,800.
Mm.
That was in addition to your teaching salary, of course. But so most of the schools in Wisconsin are stipends. So if you're the head basketball coach, you might get $4,000 in addition to your teaching salary. And if you're the head track coach, you might get $3,000 in addition to your teaching salary. So it really varies. Some will give a percentage of a base salary. So it might be 10% of the base salary. If the base salary is, you know, $33,000, then they might get $3,000. So that's really where some of the burnout and some of the challenges comes in maintaining and retaining coaches, is they're not getting paid a whole lot. So you have all of these additional pressures with club sports and youth sports coming up, and the parents are used to that environment. And then you get into the school sports, and school sports are education-based. So you're really trying to be an extension of the classroom, not focusing on the winning so much. And when the focus gets on the winning, people get discouraged and get out of their coaching. So it's really one of those cycles that you have to try to break. And that's the difficult piece, is to keep in mind that the school is paying you to be a teacher on the field. It's an extension of the classroom.
Wade Lebecki is Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association, former athlete, football coach, athletic director. Your insights, your questions, they're welcome. 800-642-1234. Are you a high school coach? What does the balance look like for you? Do you fear burnout? How do you maintain the lifestyle? We'll get back to the discussion after this news update on the Ideas Network. President Trump joined a group of famous athletes for a field day with kids at the White House yesterday as he kicked off an effort to increase youth participation in sports. His administration wants to reverse a trend of declining participation in athletic activity and to make youth sports more accessible to economically disadvantaged students. We're looking at the coaching situation for prep sports here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coaches are speaking publicly about burnout. They're being candid about the hours it takes to field highly competitive high school teams. We're looking at this world with the help of Wade Lebecki. He's deputy director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. Your thoughts, your questions, 800-642-1234. And for high school coaches, why do you coach? How much of your time is dedicated to coaching? And what do you have to do to make time to coach? What gets put aside? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Bill joining us from Seymour. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Go ahead. Good morning.
Well, when I heard that Wade Lebecki was on, I thought I'd better give a call and chat with Wade since we both were in coaching for many years, and I was a head coach for 29 years and overall 35. So I thought I would have something to offer when it comes to why many young people aren't staying with coaching like we did and I did and many of my colleagues. And I think something that hasn't been mentioned, of course, it's very demanding from a time point of view. And I remember going to work at 6 in the morning and opening a weight room and seldom getting home until 6 at night. But teaching is also very important. You know, that's your job primarily as a coach or a teacher. So these people are also putting in long hours teaching. I was a history teacher and, of course, correcting papers and all those things. And you hear many people say they're getting out of coaching to spend more time with the family. And back when I coached, my wife and I, we sat down and talked, and we just realized when our kids were growing up that she had to be home with the kids, that, or one of us had to be, and we decided it'd be her, and because I was at school so much. Mm. Well, back then, you could raise a family on one teacher's salary. You just can't do that anymore. You can't raise a family on $35,000 a year for a starting teacher, or 30. And consequently, when Act 10 was passed, most coaches got a $5,000 to $7,000 pay cut when it came to cutting back on health insurance and retirement and those kinds of things. So I think that's a factor why many people aren't staying in coaching because of the time demands. And both people, husband and wife nowadays, have to work just to support a family.
Well, Bill, thanks for taking the time to call in. And Wade, there's your old colleague there calling in.
Yes, and Bill was an excellent football coach. In fact, he's in the Hall of Fame for the Wisconsin Football Coaches Association. He was the president of Coaches Association, as was I. Great association, and Bill's correct. When you start talking about the money, the young people don't have as much access to that. And while you're not in there for the money, you do need some of that in order to get by and live and be with your family. So I agree with Bill fully.
Let's go to Gary now in Ripon. Hi, Gary.
Good morning. Admittedly, I grew up in an era when there were no playoffs and there was nothing interscholastic for girls. But now, how does a coach deal? We're dealing with declining enrollments. The state has set the school districts off against each other with open enrollment and so forth. And so there's a lot more pressure on the schools to have practically a mini professional program so that they can attract students from other districts. And in some cases, maybe even the continued survival of the district is dependent upon that. How do you coach in that kind of an environment?
Yeah, Gary, where does school administration come down on this and in districts, Wade?
You know, Gary has a very valid point as well. You know, when you see some of the facilities that are being built, they're really impressive. Some of the stuff is at the level that you would see at a major college or at the NFL level that the Packers have that they practice in. It really does come down to the administration and where they're at. You do need to have the balance that what the purpose of education-based athletics is really about. Now, that, with that said, every child brings in money. And when you have open enrollment, when a child goes from one district to another, the district that they left loses their state aid for that student, which is, you know, anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000 or more. And then they go to another district, which gets $6,500 for open enrollment. So it is important that they attract kids, and that is a factor in athletics and in education.
What advice would you give to a new coach starting out today?
You know, they really have to understand why they're in coaching. You're in coaching because you love the sport. You're in coaching because you love to work with kids. And when you put those two together and you keep that purpose in there and you work for that purpose, the success comes. So you really need to go ahead and have that purpose. You need to be able to delegate. You can't do it all yourself. You can't carry all of the wins on your shoulders. You can't carry all the losses on your shoulders. You have to go ahead and have good assistants. You have to coach up your assistants as much as you coach up your kids. You have to manage your time better. You have to be able to understand that if you practice for 3 hours, you're not going to get any more done than you would if you practice for 2.5 hours. You don't need to stay in the office until 10 o'clock when you can get home, be with your family, and then work from 10 to 11 at your home. But you need to balance that time. You need to probably exercise, find some way to reduce the stress involved, because there is stress involved in coaching. There, you know, they keep a scoreboard for a reason, and they're going to focus on that. Now, your kids 20 years from now, 30 years from now, they're going to talk about the experience they had and all of that. But in the current present time, they do focus on that, and you have to be able to deal with that.
As we start to wrap up here, what is your hope for the future of youth athletics in Wisconsin?
Well, that's a difficult one. You know, first, I'd like to be able to walk into a high school 30 years from now and still see athletics. I think it's important that people understand the benefits that you have with education-based athletics. I'm afraid that we're getting into the people who have been involved in club sports, and then you're seeing it now in football as well during the summer with 7-on-7 leagues, that they're losing focus on why we have athletics in high school. We have athletics in high school to extend the classroom, to build leaders, to build teamwork, to build a good workforce, and to help educate these kids so they're successful people in our society. We need to focus on that.
Wade, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you, Kate.
Wade Lebecki is Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association. He's also been a high school administrator, an athletic director, teacher, and high school football coach. He was a high school athlete, and he's been joining us to talk about the value and challenges of high school coaching and youth athletics. Now we're just under 2 weeks away from two special elections in Wisconsin that will give political observers their next glimpse into which way the political winds may be blowing in the state this year. Patty Murray reports on the races, the contest for the first state Senate district in Northeast Wisconsin.
The first state Senate district spans all or parts of six counties in northeastern Wisconsin. It's been held by Republicans for years, including most recently by former state Senator Frank Lissay. When Lissay left in December for a job in Governor Scott Walker's administration, Walker resisted calling a special election to replace him. He relented after he was ordered to by a court. David Helpap is a political scientist at UW Green Bay. He says this race will be viewed as a bellwether.
3 or 4 months ago, I did not think all the talk of this blue wave was actually like going to be legitimate, but it seems like the signs are pointing that way, and we'll have to see to what degree the wave hits. Is it going to be something that's kind of sort of nice and calm, or is it actually going to be something that's very notable?
The special election pits Republican Andre Jock against Democrat Caleb Frostman. Jock is a four-term incumbent in the state assembly. Frostman was head of the Door County Economic Development Corporation until the end of April. Frostman is a newcomer to state politics. He's running on his economic development credentials and on job creation.
And at the jobs that our state is courting and incenting are quality jobs, that they have the opportunity to live a dignified life, a living wage, roof over their head, food on their table, access to affordable health care.
Frostman says he's concerned about the state's commitment to electronics manufacturer Foxconn.
I would be hopeful that Wisconsin companies would get a shot. I'm not as optimistic that that's going to be the case, but it's highly concerning on the size and the fact that we, I think, kind of gave away the farm without negotiating from a position of strength in this one.
Andre Jock was first elected to the Assembly in 2010. Jock won a mid-May primary against another Republican. He says he's also focused on jobs, like Frostman.
The things that he's touting are the things that I've worked on in the legislature in terms of worker training, in terms of barriers to full participation in our economy and broadband expansion, and the things that, you know, he's taking credit for are many times state programs that I was a co-author of or helped initiate.
Jock says he helped reduce red tape to help a local cheese business stay in Two Rivers.
They provide your breaded cheese curds that you'll find just about anywhere here in the state of Wisconsin, whether that's your A&W or your local bar.
Governor Walker has warned repeatedly about a blue wave at the polls this fall, meaning Democrats could take control of Congress or state government. In January, Democrat Patty Schottner won a special election for a Western Wisconsin State Senate district long held by Republicans. HELPAP says it's possible the same scenario could play out in northeastern Wisconsin.
And I don't think you would see the governor kind of continually referencing this blue wave if he didn't have at least some concern there.
The special election for the 1st Senate District and another for the 42nd Assembly District in southeast Wisconsin will be held on June 12th. Both contests could be setting the stage for rematches. That's because whoever wins the seats would have to run again in November if they want to keep them. Patty Murray, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And our coverage of this election and others can be followed at WPR.org. We'll also kick off our gubernatorial candidate series tomorrow after 7:55 with a profile of Governor Scott Walker. This hour of the morning show was produced by Brianne Chasseau and the Ideas Network director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation comes to you on the Ideas Network.